Hello and welcome to NJ Biz Conversations. I'm your host, Jeff Kanige. My guest today is Liz Gehringer of Coldwell Banker. Liz, welcome.
Thank you. Happy to be here with you.
Oh, thanks for joining me. I really appreciate it. Now, I purposely didn't give your title because I want to make sure I get it right. What I've been told is it's you are president and CEO of Anywhere Franchise Brands and acting president and CEO COO of Coldwell Banker. Did I get all of that right?
Correct. It's a little bit of a mouthful. Lots of responsibilities, some of them new. Yes, that's correct.
Yes, that's what I wanted to start off with. My understanding is that this does represent a new role for you. I'm curious as to what that means and how that has changed your professional life.
Yeah, great question. So I am a couple of months into a new role. I had been the president of Coldwell Banker and chief operating officer, so overseeing the franchise business in Coldwell Banker. And what I have taken on is also oversight of the franchise businesses that we have at Anywhere, which includes Century 21, Better Homes and Gardens, and ERA. So I've expanded my book of business across more of the brands in our family of brands at Anywhere.
Okay. Well, I'm sure most readers, most viewers will recognize those names. They're some of the bigger ones in the country, in the world. I was curious. I saw you doing an interview with one of your colleagues in which you talked about that getting out and being part and being out in the field, as it were. You started at Ford and you were working with franchises there. And now it seems like you're doing the same thing. Is that an addition to what you had been doing?
Yes. I definitely get my perspective, you know, in any position that I'm in from the customer base itself. So, you know, my instinct is always to kind of go right out and listen to the customers. In this case, that's the franchisees of these systems. Those are broker owners. So I think most people experience real estate through a real estate agent who they usually, you know, use at the transactional level to buy and sell a home, get guidance. And this is one step behind that. Well, this is the, you know, the brokers, the real estate brokers. Those are franchisees of these brands who supervise those agents and provide a home for them in which they, you know, conduct business. And so that's the focus that I'm in, is how can we best bring our tools and services and assistance to those brokers so that they can in turn provide the best possible assistance, training, experience for their agents who then serve the customers, all those home buyers and sellers. So yeah, I'm right there. I am listening to that customer base across all these brands. There's commonality across our brands. And then of course, there are big distinctions across our brands. So I'm looking for the best that can be shared across while keeping those brands distinct from each other and the consumer experience, the agent experience differentiated.
Okay. Now I'm curious that I know that the firm has a number of DE&I initiatives, a lot of programs. I'm wondering A, how that translates into your day-to-day work and B, how important that is in a franchise business like the one that you're running.
Yeah. Again, I think if you think about it all the way from the way people experience real estate, right? It should be an experience that is equal among people who experience it. We want to make sure everyone is exposed to every community. And it's a really important goal of real estate. I mean, at the end of the day, what we're doing is finding people homes and finding people communities and a place to extend their experiences, whether they're, you know, single, married, raising children, not working, you know, finding people that right place. And so obviously diversity, making sure everybody has that same experience at the real transactional level is really important to us. It's part of our core values, really making sure that we are helping everyone find this great experience. To get to that place, it's really important that we educate our agents, that we educate them about market trends, market information, all of the customers, that we make sure our brokers are providing environments where everybody is nurtured to, you know, grow their skills and do business. We try to make sure we have awesome representation within our family of brands. So that comes all the way back to making sure that our franchise base is diverse. We actually offer incentives to traditionally marginalized groups of people and make sure that they have opportunities to become owners. So we're looking to make sure agents and professionals can also have great careers in real estate. Okay. And then all of this sort of feeds upon each other, right? It's like, if you have all the right ownership in place and the right values, the right teaching, you can meet that end goal, which is like all the way at the transactional level again.
Right. Okay. Now, you alluded to something that I wanted to ask you about, which is the inclusive ownership program. Is that what you were talking about in terms of making sure that your the brokers, the people who are out meeting the public, are sort of look like the public that they're dealing with?
And that they have a full understanding of the market, some of its representation, some of its understanding information. It has some complexity to it, or some nuance to it. But yes, exactly. The inclusive ownership program is just being purposeful. So we have a real program in place with real incentives, you know, something that we're doing, that we have goals that we make sure that we're doing. You know, what you focus on is where you perform. It's really important for us to do that. So as a new franchise owner, if you come into our family of brands in the inclusive ownership program, you don't pay the initial franchise fee, and there are reduced fees for the first couple of years you're in business. And it's really critical. It's so important to make sure you don't just start someone in business and then not follow through. So we spend a lot of time focusing on mentoring companies, training them very carefully, especially in the first year, and incentivizing the first two to ensure success. And those companies are actually our fastest growing.
Okay. And that was the next question, was, is this working? are you getting the kinds of results that you hope to get from that?
We really are. It is our fastest group growing by volume, by production, and by agent count. You can say, okay, well, happiness is a low base. And in some cases, that's true. We are taking on smaller companies than perhaps we necessarily would have focused on in the past. Some brands like Coldwell Banker that have been around since 1906, that all of the brands have quite incredible legacy. But you may have in the past been looking to have larger independent companies join us, like really established brokerages join us. We're much more willing in this case to have smaller companies or agent teams develop them into companies, because that's just more realistic in terms of like the base that we're looking to have help join the company. And so we're able to make sure that these companies grow. We can help them recruiting with recruiting incentives. We can even help with mergers and acquisitions, like finding another company they can buy and help incentivize mm-hmm. them to buy. So yeah, we really have to stick with it. We just did not, this would be a terrible thing to have fail, right? So we really put a concerted effort into making this successful, and it is.
Okay. All right. I wanted to look a little bit sort of outside and into the market that Coldwell Banker is operating in. The firm issued a couple of interesting reports earlier this spring. One was a consumer survey, and the other was a luxury market outlook, if I remember correctly. Can we start first with the consumer survey? What were you hearing? What were the most important things that you took away from what you heard from the consumers in that report?
Yeah, sure. This is an important aspect of what we do as real estate brokers, is making sure that we are gathering expertise so that our agents really have the best information, leading information to share with their consumers. And consumers themselves have gotten so intelligent, right? I mean, we all do it. Well, you read a particularly huge amount of news. I read a huge amount of news. It's my favorite thing to read. But consumers are really well educated. So the agents are looking for like the what's different, what's more. So we spend a lot of time in our company making sure that we do really understand additional information, expertise, like consumer behavior. So in the recent survey you're talking about, it was an international buyers survey, and it was a higher net worth. So we spoke with, or we gathered information from consumers, over 1,200 of them, global consumers who were interested because they were high net worth people with over $1 million in net income who may be purchasing a home. And so we were looking at the consumer sentiment around international buyers. And we found some really interesting things. There was a lot of positivity about real estate, which real estate as an investment. So 80% of the people surveyed felt that real estate was a safe place to invest. So that's, you know, that's really a strong consumer sentiment. And it was interesting to see what, you know, where they were interested in buying and what was really, what were the aspects, the amenities of the home. So for example, you know, more locally, New York City, for example, local to us in New Jersey, I'm here in New Jersey, in Madison. And so the New York market is important to us. There were many of the buyers from Spain were very interested in New York City. So it was very interesting. So for another example was in France, there were many buyers interested in Aspen. So you get some of the like for like the hustle and bustle of New York is relating to the cities in Spain, and some of the buyers there interested, the cultural aspects and elements available in New York City. In France, there's a lot of a skiing lifestyle. I just spent some time there myself, getting a little bit of skiing in before the season closed. And there's a huge amount of skiing. It's real lifestyle in France. And so it's interesting to see the interest in Aspen, for example. So there's a lot of, you know, commonality when you really get to understand who the buyer is and then how you can market the area that you're in. So the New Jersey, the greater New York City area, like understanding that international buyer that we can attract. The buyers were influenced by things you would expect, like they've been here on vacation or the concept that this was a good market to invest in the United States, which has sure. been stably viewed that way. But also things like television shows are really influencing buyers, which I just think is...
I don't know whether that's good or bad.
It's so interesting. Yeah, I know. In real estate, we need to start working on certain television shows in an effort to right. Bring our buyers. But, you know, it's good. It's really good to understand the consumer. And then we feed that information back to our agents who, you know, are heavily interested in it.
Okay. So, and just again, as you said, we're talking in New Jersey, the New York City metropolitan area. What does that tell you about what the market is like here for, again, for those kinds of buyers, those international buyers, a strong market in general, or is it, you said you got most of that kind of positive response from buyers from Spain. Is that strength spread throughout the rest of what you were?
Yeah, I mean, I think we do enjoy this. You know, the stronger market, the sure. draw that New York City has. We have really great luxury markets that surround New York City and in northern New Jersey. Our beaches in New Jersey. You know, we have some really incredible luxury markets surrounding New York. And so we do a lot of focus, particularly inside of Coldwell Banker, but really inside of all of our brands, there's luxury expertise. And, you know, that's like a little bit of a different market. Sometimes those markets can be not as focused on interest rate, for example. You can get more cash buyers. You can get more people who own their fourth or fifth home. So it's, you know, it's really understanding your buyer and seller, depending on, you know, who you're focused on. But we certainly have quite a bit of that in New Jersey. We really represent all markets in New Jersey. So depending on the agent and their level of expertise, you know, there really is a lot that of information they can use to attract the right buyers and sellers. The agents are having to work a little bit of both aspects of transactions now, because inventory is such a challenge in the market. There's just very low inventory levels. So we really encourage our agents to create it, you know, to create the excitement around the industry. It's like, it's not happening to us. We are the industry. So get out there and encourage people to what can they do? What type of home can they be looking for? Is there an investment opportunity available? But, you know, you're really looking for encouraging buyers to or sellers to sell. It's a really good time to sell, but you need to find them a place to go as well. So, you know, you're having the agents are having to work harder. And this is when the expertise of the agent really comes into play, right? When the market is on fire, like it was in COVID, it's a little bit, it's maybe a little bit less onerous on the agent, but they have quite a bit of work to do right now.
Okay. Right. And perhaps maybe not show binge watch Sopranos and Jersey Shore.
Work to do.
Right. The second report was an outlook. I'm just from what I was able to see of it, it looks like it's a lot of number crunching. Is that basically what that was?
There is a lot of number crunching to understand, you know, again, what is really happening in the market and how the dynamics are changing and who's buying and who's selling and what they're interested in. So there was a lot of work done in that report, called the report, actually on the ultra net worth individuals. And it is really interesting to see how much of the luxury market, the ultra net worth, the over 30 million in income buyer is controlling the market, or I shouldn't say controlling, but, you know, has a really big part in it. Like, we understand that wealth is increasing in the country, but to see how much that impacts real estate and how that set of buyers is buying so many homes. I found really interesting in there too, the millennial changes, or maybe just news to me. You know, you have your own impressions, and it's so good to look at data, facts, you know, change what's in your head, or that we talked about that before we even started today. And the millennials are becoming a really powerful buyer group, and they're interested in, you know, they came along with Airbnb. They're interested in real estate as an investment strategy. Okay. So, you know, we used to think of the up and coming generation of just like, can we get them to buy their first home? First time home buyers, critical.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, that's what I was just going to say, was that the narrative that had sort of taken hold was that those buyers, that generation, was really behind the eight ball because they had not been able to get the same kind of wealth building that the baby boomers had. But you're saying that's not what you're seeing.
Yeah, we're seeing an increase in interest and actual buying by millennials, and more interested in the investment model of real estate, which, you know, maybe we had just not really painted them in our minds with. So yeah, it's definitely evolving. And that's exactly why these kind of reports are, you know, really interesting to us. And then just looking at evolving markets, you know, you can also get stuck in your mind, like luxury, it's Beverly Hills, but there are so many evolving luxury markets in the country. And the migration of people that happened in COVID is really driving that. So, I mean, everybody knows there's been a lot of movement to Texas. So a lot more markets there are, you know, booming, and you're seeing more luxury business. Nashville holds a lot of interest. So where people are in the country and where people went from COVID is a new development too. That's just been super interesting to follow.
Okay. Is that where growth is going to come from for the firm in the luxury market? Is that really where you see the future lies?
I think, you know, we really serve all aspects of the market, but we do have a strategic focus on luxury, the luxury business. And, you know, there is increasing wealth, and we want to make sure we serve that clientele. And the idea that upper end, like we talked about, are buying more than one home. So, you know, you're seeing that. And you know, price has been pretty solid, even without the, and you see that in industry numbers. You know, we don't really do too much on our own forward looking, but you see that in a lot of the industry performance, even while the volume, the units get a little challenged if you don't have inventory, but you know, the price may hold steady.
Okay. Well, before I let you go, I did want to get your assessment of the market now. I'm curious as to what you're seeing about, you know, you mentioned the white hot market during COVID. It seemed to cool off a little bit, but I mean, there were two houses in our neighborhood that went on the market and were sold within days of each other. And they both had Coldwell Banker signs in front of them, by the way.
I love it.
So what does it look like now? Has it slowed down significantly from COVID? And do you expect that to continue?
You're just so spot on. It's, you know, during COVID, it's almost like real estate was a national phenomenon, and we're back to real estate is local, which is like what we have said forever, right? You know, you always hear that. It really is about what's happening in your neighborhood and what's happening with the comps around you. And I too live in New Jersey, and I'm seeing the prices around me in my own personal experience, and holding quite steady. New Jersey, yeah, okay. There are many areas in New Jersey that are experiencing that. So that is what we're, you know, it is a local experience for real estate. I think we don't have as many houses on the market. You see that, you know, just driving around, there aren't as many homes on the market, but yes. I've noticed a little bit of an increase. I've been watching the listings myself, just personally, mm-hmm. and seeing some additional listings. So that really ends up driving so many aspects of our business. And then of course rates, you know, rate is it's not one thing that can answer the question to real estate, but obviously rate is important. There are more cash buyers in the luxury areas too. Right. There'll be more cash buyers. So that can be a little bit like rate agnostic. So it's a really nuanced, question. And, you know, that's why we always want to just have our agents in the best possible spot to work with people, because it can be a very local experience, and you shouldn't just take in the national news as your barometer.
Okay. Well, that actually was where I was going to end with, was what's the dynamic that's driving the market? I mean, we've mentioned the headwinds that I've spoken with people about include interest rates. They're not going down anytime soon. We don't know how fast they're going to continue to rise. The other one is just general economic uncertainty. What's the economy, the national, the global economy going to look like in the second half of the year? Are those the two most important factors that you're seeing, or is there something else that's going to be?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the macroeconomics are always really important to real estate, and you're hitting on those issues. You know, I think more than ever, the consumer sentiment is also driven by what it reads in the news. So I'll leave it in your hands. You know, you help us, help the consumers dive through and do real analysis on what they can afford. You know, there is always something that you can do, whether, you know, if you're the the home buyer, you know, you, it might take a little more work. You might be a little, need to be a little bit more ready to buy or know your flexibility or buy something that you are going to repair or understand, are you doing this for investment or because you want to be in a certain place? Like, you know, there's a little bit more homework to do. And I think taking in more information than less is really the key. And, you know, real homework done by people like you and your business, I think is just so critical to shaping the consumer mindset to be actually fully educated on the issues.
Okay. Well, that's a good place to leave it. We will stop there. Liz Gehringer, the president and CEO of Anywhere Franchise Brands and president and COO of Coldwell Banker. Thank you very much for joining me and bringing your very long title with you.
It was great to meet you.
Nice to meet you too. And I hope you'll come back and give us an update on what's going on in the market. That would be great.
Absolutely. I'd love to.
Okay. And thank you all for watching. Until next time, stay safe, everyone.